Okay. Look at that. Yeah, it's going to be good. It's going to be a good day, I promise. So I wanted to, I'm talking about the Proverbs 3, 5 through 6. And so that's the one a lot of y'all memorize when you're kiddos. And I just want to talk about it real quick. Trust in the Lord with all your heart and lean not on your own understanding. I want to talk about it again. I know I spoke about it last time I spoke, but this, so my knee injury and all this stuff, and like God has just been continually running that in my heart. So I'm getting a lot better. I've just got about 6 more months to go, so I'm still in the brace. This is like the longest recovery ever, but I can tell you there's been a lot of moments where leaning into my own understanding wasn't a great idea. So I just want to tell y'all about some of the people I met real quick. And so I got hurt, and I tell people falling off a four-wheeler, it'd sound way better if the four-wheeler was like running, but it was like dead stopped, and I just flipped off the thing. It was great. But so I want to tell y'all about what's happening with what God did with me. And so this kind of injury, so I dislocated it, and basically I'm not having to have surgery, but it's just like a really, really long recovery time. So when it's all said and done, it's probably going to take me about a year. But I'm in physical therapy twice to three times a week. So I'm up there every other day-ish some weeks. And, you know, I'm there about an hour and a half, sometimes 2 hours. And, you know, it's kind of funny, you know, patients come and go, and it's like, oh, look, he had surgery, he got better, he left. I'm like still there. And so I wanted to just tell y'all what God's been doing, because at first I was like, God, why don't you just heal me? I mean, that sounds like a good plan. Like, I think just you healing me, because I believe God can, and miracles, and I am getting better, but it was just like this really slow progression, and some days were rough, and it's not like a real linear thing, right? It wasn't like God, I just got better every week, every time. Some weeks were worse. Some weeks were way worse. Some days were way worse. Some days I thought, oh no, I re-injured myself. I'm gonna have to start this over. Because one of the big things with this type of injury is the surgeon's basically like, dude, if you re-injure it, you're gonna have surgery. And it's a tough surgery, and it starts all over. So you have to be super careful. And that's kind of how I started. So I'm not going to use people's names just because they live in the area, but I just want to tell you about what God did. So D, he's one of the physical therapists, and D is who I first met with, right? So right after I got hurt, I couldn't put any weight on it at all. I couldn't walk really. It was swollen, it's still swollen, but it was swollen to just maybe almost triple the size it normally would be. Like, it was pretty rough off. And I met D, and he sits me down, and he does something that's just so crazy, which is really weird in the medical world, right? Because, you know, how insurance works and how much time you get with the therapist is pretty much based on their schedule and how much money and all this pre-negotiated stuff. But the very first time I'm there, he sits down with me, and he spends an hour and a half with me, which is kind of unheard of. And he asks all about my personality. And he asks about how aggressive I am and what kind of lifestyle I had before I was hurt and how much I worked out and ran and how I used, how athletic, what were my hobbies, what was my pain tolerance, what injuries did I have in the past, what did I do right after I got hurt, how much was I relying on the crutches, what was I doing all night. And he just spent almost a full hour just asking me questions. Like, we didn't do any therapy, really. Like, I just sat in a chair next to him as everybody else in the room is working out. And then he very carefully explained to me what the next year was going to look like. And he said, with my personality and with me being more aggressive and wanting to go, he's like, this is a spot in your life you can't. and this is why. And he explained it, and he gave me parameters, and he was very careful to craft a plan for me. And that was my first experience. I thought, well, this is crazy, because if he wouldn't have done that, if he would have just gave me, do these exercises, I'd have done them 25 times the first day if I could. And he's like, I couldn't do that in the beginning. So I was like, wow, God, that's kind of a miracle that you paired me up with the right person to take care of me that very first day. And then something else crazy happened. When you spend a lot of time with people, you know, because I'm not leaning on my own understanding, and I just started listening to the Lord, and I felt like God was telling me to start calling out what I saw inside of people there. I thought, how do you do that? And what happened was I learned, you know, me and Dee, we're both married to wonderful ladies, and they both are full of energy, and they bring joy, and they laugh at corny movies, and we just developed this relationship where we could start talking about how grateful we are to have a spouse that's a real partner, and even more than that, a friend and somebody you could spend time with. And we started calling out, and I started encouraging him. I was like, yeah, isn't that incredible? God's incredible that he gives you an opportunity to partner with him and somebody else to walk with in life. And we started talking about our wives in that way, that in, you know, every few days when I saw him, I was like, yeah, how's your wife? What is she doing? She watched me. She loved me so much. She watched me watch sports, and we did this on the weekend. And golly, we went to the farmer's market. But even that was okay because I was with her. And then, you know, so I got to do that with Dee. And then, which I didn't know this at the beginning, but when you're like at a place for like half a year, basically, people like take off and stuff. And then the second thing that happened is M came. And M, I haven't met him before. He's the first time. And he did something with me in physical therapy. He's this real technical guy. And he was like, you could do this a little better. You could make this adjustment. And, you know, and then I hear his story. And he works 3 days a week, which is interesting. So he works these really long shifts 3 days a week, but that frees him up to do things and bless people the rest of those days. So we just talked about what it's like to serve people, what it's like to see joy, what it's like to help somebody that's need. And he had that schedule, you know? And I was like, man, that's pretty incredible. He's the only guy in the whole building that had that schedule to where he was like, yeah. And he does a great job when he's there, but the whole reason he's there is that so he can get his time freed up to do other things. I was like, huh. This is pretty wild. Then I'm going along, and then Jay, she's an incredible lady. She's like 22, 23, something like that, pretty fresh out of school. And we got to talk about, and this was her third job since she graduated. Like, isn't that crazy? Which is not all that unusual right now. And she has a passion to help patients. See, her first job that she went to, they wanted to give her too many patients at one time, and she felt like she couldn't pay enough attention to them. So then she went to her second job, and then the second job, she unfortunately ran into like some of those things that ladies do, right? Challenges with being young, with being a woman, and working with older men that don't treat her the same way, right? So now she's on her third job, and I was just like calling out the truth inside of her. It's like, you are so brave not to accept those bad circumstances. You did the absolute right thing. Man, how do they treat you? Oh, they treat me great. Isn't that awesome? You do so well with your patients. And then we got to talk about college and what that was like. You know, she thought she really messed up for her whole life because she got a four-year degree, graduated, and then figured out she didn't want to do that, and then she changed to physical therapy. And I told her, oh, no, that's okay. You've got a long race to run. It'd be way better to be in a job that you're passionate about and you like than to be in the wrong career for that long. And if that just cost you an extra 4 years, that's okay. That's okay. Then I got to meet C. C was interesting. We graduated high school together. And like my memory and just, and honestly at Cabot at that time, I pretty much was like one of the only minorities. And even to say I'm a minority is kind of funny. But honestly, I was like, so in our graduating class, I was like one of the only brown people in the whole class. So combine that with my memory, and basically there's like almost 600 people that know who I am, and I don't know them all. So he was one of them, and I didn't, like he knew all about me and our family and what I did, and like I couldn't have picked him out of a lineup. I didn't even know. But you know what we got to talk about? Because he was a little bit embarrassed that it's taken him almost 40 years of life to figure out what career field he wanted to be in. And he just now has a girlfriend. And he's okay now. And he said, you know, it took me a really long time to get to where I was. And I said, yeah. I said, it's okay. We're not defined by our mistakes that we made in high school, our decisions, or that night, or that weekend, right? We're not defined by that. Like, we're not. Like, it's okay. And we got to talk about that. We thought, oh, man, isn't it incredible? 20 years after high school, and look at us now, that we're just a little bit wiser, and we're a little bit more humble, and we know who to rely on, and that's okay. And isn't it cool that God forgave all that stuff? And that the second half of life, we've got a lot inside now that we can talk about to other people. That's what me and C talked about. Let me tell you about Miss S. So she checks you in when you get in, and she's a wonderful lady. Sweet, sweet grandmother. And she's a little feisty, which you gotta be, I figured out. Because people come into physical therapy aren't usually in a great mood. You know, they figure out pretty quick you're showing up there to be put in some kind of pain, right? And so, man, I got to know her. She has an incredible story. You see, she was married to a man that was disabled, and she spent most of her life, since they were married, taking care of him. She was the main provider in the house, and then as he got older, she really had to take care of him. So he couldn't walk, and he had a lot of medical challenges, and but does she love the Lord. And so as I got to know her, and her husband passed away, and then I found out that she went to physical therapy, and you know, and she told me, like in the sweetest way possible, that women are a lot better at physical therapy than men. And I went, really? And I said, what is it? She goes, well, we can just take pain better. I said, I agree. And like, she was so sweet. But you know, what we got to talk about, and as I got to know her, she has, I think she has three or four grandkids that live pretty close to her. And this is kind of a miracle. Like, and from her perspective, after I thought about it, I was like, oh, it is. You see, she got to do something just a few weeks ago that was incredible. She got to take her grandkids to the movies. And you know, they were showing a Christian movie at the movie theater. Her grandkids got to hear the name of Jesus in a movie theater. And I said, that is incredible, isn't it? She said, I can't believe it. In my lifetime, that I got to go to the movies with my grandkids and they heard Jesus. I said, that is a miracle. That's incredible. So what I've figured out is not leaning on my own understanding as I've been going through this therapy stuff, is time and time and time again, and not every time I was good at it, I just said, God, I believe that's true, that I get to call out what's inside of these people and remind them and thank them and let them know they're okay. So over this last 4-ish, 5 months that I've been hanging out with this group, I'm just reminded over and over again, from the youngest gal there, 20-something years old, I think he's been doing therapy, this is almost 30 years. Different spectrums of life, but God loves them right where they are, every single one of them. And the closer that we got to not leaning on my understanding, right? So, you know what? If my injury, if nothing else, I got to meet these people, that's okay with me. So I wanted to talk about one more fella up there. M is interesting. He goes to Harding, and he's from California. And he got a scholarship to come here. He's never lived or pretty much been anywhere else in the United States except California. And he's a first-generation American, just like me, right? So my mom's an immigrant, and his parents, both of them actually, they're from Egypt. And years and years and years ago, they came over and they settled, or his dad settled in a job in California, and kind of perfect timing. It happened right before kind of the real estate explosion that's never stopped in California. So they were able to buy a house fairly quickly, and then they just planted there. And he has a sister, and his dream is to own a physical therapy clinic one day. He wants to be a business owner. And he wants to help people. And he graduates next week, I think. And then he has to take that test to make sure he's a real doctor, right? And so he's right at the end. And what they did was Mr. M got partnered with Mr. D. And so the senior guy that's been there 25, 30 years is also connected with the student, right? And then basically that's part of the training. The head physical therapist basically put the student with me after, you know, because by now I've been going for months and months. And so they would know my routine, and then he would help me. And he's a really big guy. He's 2 or 3 inches taller than me, and he is just strong, ripped guy. Like, he is just a very muscular, big dude. I was like, well, this will be wild. He's not even a doctor yet. We'll see how this goes. And again, God paired me with Mr. M because I needed to be. Because one of the hardest things for me is going up and down stairs. It has to do with, like, my quads, like the muscles on top of my knee. They're really weak right now. And so I can't alternate feet, right, going upstairs yet. And so they partnered me with him, and he took me out to the grass. So if you've ever had an injury like this, like, you think just walking in flat grass wouldn't be that big a deal? It's a big deal. Like, just the little micro shifts of the soil, like just the grass being a little bit different heights, all of a sudden became like I was climbing a mountain. Like, I felt very unstable and very hard. And he just walked with me, quite literally, basically with his arm around me, so I could start getting confidence just walking in grass. And then over the next couple of weeks, I got to where I could, like, do a curb, you know, like 3 or 4 inches. I could step up on that, and then a ramp. And then the big thing was, like, he started showing me, teaching me, in a way, how to go upstairs again. And so all that to say that I ended up spending a lot of time with him. Let me tell you about him. let me tell you what it's like to be a young man that's an immigrant that is in Arkansas for the first time. And, you know, I think we're normal, but apparently we're a little weird. I didn't know that. Different culture, different experience, right? In a lot of ways, different values. And he loves the Lord. And he came here, and of course, right, he met a gal, and she likes him. And they're starting to date, and he's trying to figure out, should I marry this girl? Or what happens? I'm about to graduate, but she lives in Arkansas, and her family's from here. My family's from California. And then his mom and dad, they live in California, right? And his dad, he's starting not to have great health, right? He's starting to decline, and he has that turmoil inside. Well, gosh, if I stay in Arkansas, what about mom and dad in California? I want to take care of them. And then, you know, she actually is part of another denomination. They both love Jesus, but they believe slightly different things. So what does that mean if they get married and their kids? And what about that crazy test that he has to take? If he does all this school education and all this debt that he has, and then that doesn't turn out right? Like, what if he doesn't pass? And plus, he wants to be a business owner. So how in the world do you run a business and have therapists work for you? And what does that look like? And over and over and over again, I got to remind them who to go to. Who do you ask these questions to? Where does peace come from? And it was incredible, week after week after week. He's like, I prayed this weekend. It's like, oh yeah. There's nothing better than hearing the Lord's voice when you have big questions. Where to live? Who to marry? I'm worried about a test. Right? And tornado sirens. That really messed him up. Like, I don't know. I mean, he actually said out loud, and he goes, oh, yeah, I'd much rather deal with an earthquake than a tornado. I mean, the whole room goes quiet and just looks at him. No, tornadoes are better than earthquakes, dude. I don't. But we just got to remind him. And then, let me tell you about one of the assistants. See, he's a dad, and he has two young kids. And every Saturday morning, his only day off, really, during the week, which parents, I don't know why they do this, but if they're going to get up at 4 a.m., it's going to be Saturday morning. And every weekend, for like the last 4 or 5 months, his kids get up at 4 a.m. And I got to encourage him. I was like, man, I know that's hard and sleeping's good, but boy, you get to spend time with your kids in the morning. You get to pour into them. They get to see you. And even though that's inconvenient, and I know it is, like, you're a good dad. You're home with your kids, working hard during the week, running home after work, providing for them. Like, I remember, they live in an apartment right now, and they just got approved for a loan, and they're moving into their first house next weekend. And I was like, do you have any help? Do you have any friends? He's like, oh, no. And I went, oh, okay. Do you have any family around here? Oh, no. I was like, oh, okay. So I just started encouraging them. Dad, you're doing the right thing. You're working hard for your family. You're providing a place for them. And over and over and over again, I got to call out things inside this cool crew. So I want to read this verse one more time together, if we could. Would y'all read it with me? Is that okay? So trust in the Lord with all your heart and lean not on your own understanding. In all your ways, submit to him, and he will make your path straight. Like, I just have to believe that's true. That leaning on my own understanding isn't the way forward. It gets me in trouble, right? Okay, let's try something. I almost had Camille do this, but I was like, oh no, she doesn't get the credit for being the only artist in the house. Okay, we'll see if this works. Okay. Oh, yeah. This is going good. No, no. Here we go. Okay. So here's what I do. And I bet you some of y'all have done this too. So I'm on this path, and I have a goal, right? That star. And this is what happens. This is what I do. Sometimes I'm looking out ahead, right? And I'm looking towards the goal. And that path that's right underneath that beautifully drawn person, there's a big gap, right, between kind of the goal and the path. And if I'm not super, super careful, I forget about what this whole thing is about. Okay? So here's what I tend to forget, and we're going to talk about this. So there's another fella here, and I forget about him sometimes. I forget that right beside me is the Lord, and he's with me, right? Okay. I don't know if y'all get it yet. We're going to try something else. Okay, lean not on your own understanding. And then we're going to get a little practical. So I had some volunteers or voluntolds, and we're going to see. So Chris and Eli and, oh, come on, boys, hurry up, let's go. Yeah, so you three face this way. So, and I'm sure you already know this, there's one particular fella up here that is God-like. So Mr. Chris is going to be God in this illustration. And what he's holding, in case you don't know, is one of the gifts from God. And those are Oreos. And, oh yeah, hold your hands out, boys. Uh-huh. And what he's doing, so, okay, so Jacob gets two Oreos. Zohas has like a stack. He's got 5, 6. Huh. So Jacob gets 2 Oreos. Eli, he gets 1. Zohas gets 5 Oreos. I mean, what do y'all think? Who has the better deal? Zohas. Okay. So, isn't that interesting that Zohas has the most, Jacob second place, and then 1? Huh. I mean, does that seem fair? Oh, man. So you mean to tell me sometimes I'm looking at what's right in front of me, and I'm fixated on that. And then other times I notice other people, they have more cookies than I do. And then look where the cookies come from. He's way over here. In fact, he has so many cookies over there, they all three could eat what's in front of them and he could dish them out again. Do y'all get it yet? Okay, boys, go eat cookies. Thank you. All right. Okay. I'm just going to try to say some of this stuff real plainly, okay? Not leaning on your own understanding. Man, there's only one way to do this thing. And it's with our relationship with him. Okay, you have a job. You show up. You do what you're supposed to do, and you go home. Rinse and repeat. If you're lucky, you do that 5 days a week during daylight hours, and you get the weekends off. So you can do what you want in the morning for a little bit, and then the evening, and that's the gig. If you're a stay-at-home mama, you're wiping little bundas, and you're changing those diapers, and you're right, and you're cleaning up messes, and as soon as the mess cleans up, you're on to the next one, and again, and again, and again, and they would like a toy, and they would like to go outside, and right, and those were the memes and the stuff come from when mom is hiding in the bathroom. I get it. You're a grandmother, and you don't have quite the energy you used to, but you still have tons of wisdom and things inside your heart you want to share, but you can't quite seem to get the younger people's attention. Because you don't want to see them make the same mistakes. You're a dad who gets frustrated because you see characters and things inside your own son that remind you of the same things you struggled with. Okay, so what does it look like? The relationship with him is everything. So I know you're just supposed to go to work, do your job, and you come home. But the very second that you let the Lord start speaking to you about your job and you start asking him, he's going to show you some incredible stuff. You're going to start acting like an owner instead of an employee. You're going to pick up the piece of trash on the way in. You're going to pay attention to when the customers are there, when you take your lunch time, how you can pour into your coworkers, showing up a little bit early, staying a little bit late. All of a sudden, you're the hardest worker in the place, and you'll have the most influence. And, you know, like, all these things happen, but I promise you, the order of events matters. And it starts, if we can go back to that drawing real quick, right? Where does it start? Like, okay, can I zoom in? Maybe I can. Okay. It's there. Like, that's it. So when I started working, I was kind of confused too. I thought you just have to do what you're supposed to do, stay out of trouble, and they pay you and you leave. And God, he started teaching me. He started showing me. Treat it like it's my own. And every time I did that with him, I got promoted and paid more and more responsibility. And, you know, moms raising babies at home, I know, I understand. Some days are hard and snotty noses and teeth come in and they wake up and, like, all that stuff is true. But you get to show that little one 1,000 times how much the Lord loves them in a day. And every time you connect with him and every time you connect with your kids, that matters. So just real practical, here's what I want you to do. Is think about, you know, we're talking about relationships and results, right? Think about your results and, man, if I could just convince you of this, you are not a victim of your circumstances, of your families, of what's happened to you. You're not. You're a child of God. And he is crazy in love with you. Crazy in love with you. And in fact, he designed this whole place so you could spend a lifetime getting to discover him. He wants to know you. He wants to be a part of you in every way possible. Life stuff is life stuff. And whatever your particular thing is, every single time, even a crazy knee injury, that I go to him and I said, okay, God, I'm not going to lean into my understanding. It's not about me. It's not about what I know. It's not about even what I want. It's about him. And the faster that I do that, the blessings and the relationship and all the cool things show up every single time. It's a huge deal. So we're going to keep talking about this very much so. And I just want to talk just a second. So you go to work. Why don't we just talk about something easy? Why don't we talk about working in a grocery store, okay? Let me just paint the picture as best I can. You get a job, you're at the grocery store, and people are messy, they're grumpy, they're rude, they don't treat you right, your supervisor's going through a divorce, and he's not a nice guy, he's a little grumpy on his good days, and on bad days he yells. Kids in the store are screaming, there's spills in the aisle, there's trash everywhere, there's, right? And you get stuck, you get singled out, you've got to clean the sticky floor, right? And all those things, like that could be kind of a miserable place to exist, and then every whatever month someone has to clean the freezer out and the health inspector's coming and the big bosses with ties and the suits are showing up and now everyone has to be on their best behavior and then your car's not running right and then you were 5 minutes late for work but so-and-so, he's always late and he never gets in trouble but I got wrote up to made an example that day and, you know, like stuff. But I promise you, gosh, I promise you, there are people in that grocery store that come every week the day after they get their cards filled, right? And they're there every week, and you have an opportunity to hear the Lord and to smile, to say welcome back, to be the best employee there. Does that matter? Yeah, it matters. Because those people that are living that those fixed incomes in that place and they come that day of the week because they were waiting the previous week for the card and like they're going to be there and right, do you get it? Like circumstances and all that stuff can sound super negative, but the very first time that you start calling out what you see inside of people, what the Lord sees, when you start partnering with him, I promise you it changes everything. Like it really does. I was talking with my dad about this. I just came to a realization a couple days ago, and I'm going to be wrapping up, but I just want to challenge you. I realized that a lot of people I'm around tend to complain about the service they received. Going to a restaurant, person checking you in at the hotel, like whatever it is, right? Somebody that you have their attention, they're serving you, right? You're the grocery delivery person, the whatever. And I just realized there's a lot of people that just complain about that person, that waitress, that, oh man, I went to Chili's and I didn't have a 5-star experience. You were at Chili's. I mean, that was my first reaction. Like, right? Like, what were you expecting? Like, I don't know. And then I was like, wait. I've eaten at Chili's and I don't think I've ever had a bad experience. And then God just spoke to me, and I hope you hear me. I'm hoping this doesn't come as prideful. I'm just telling you. I don't believe I hardly ever experience bad service anywhere I go. Ever. And it's not because I'm special, it's because of who I represent. When you're calling out the good inside of people, looking them in their eye, thanking them, empathizing with them, recognizing that their manager seems a little crazy tonight, or whatever it is, golly, how many people have you checked out today? Man, how many deliveries have you done? Man, how are you doing? Like, just taking those simple things and calling out what's inside of them already, it's kind of a cheat code. You're not going to get bad service, plus you have an opportunity to speak life into somebody. right? Because most people go and they're focused on the wrong thing, right? What are they looking at? They're looking at their cookie and they forget where it came from. And what I think the Lord is starting to do, and it's so much larger than anything we're doing, but I think in a lot of ways, like, God is starting to do this thing to where we're starting to realize that, I want to flip over to this, yeah, that this relationships and results thing is like a big, big deal. That without him, even good stuff is messed up. Here's the last thing I want to say. When I was a teenager, like young teenager, and, you know, just had a lot of moms in my life, right? You know, friends of mom, just the moms, right? The moms were around. What do moms say? Like, at least maybe it's just to me, but, oh, don't hang out with the wrong crowd. You don't want to hang out with them. You know, it matters who your friends are. So when I was younger, I kind of misinterpreted that a little bit. The wrong crowd. So there's bad people. And I don't want to be bad, so I don't hang out with the bad people. Seems simple enough, right? Well, I mean, there's probably some wisdom in that. And I didn't have the maturity at the time to see the world any differently than that. Can I tell you the problem? It's just a little bit easier to figure out when we're talking about the bad people, the bad crowd. You know, you don't want to hang out with those boys. Those boys throw rocks at windows and spray paint stuff and steal cigarettes and stay up too late, right? We don't want to hang out with the bad people. I've learned something since then. That crowd, I've learned they're not bad. What I've learned is they just happen to be looking at the wrong thing. So what my mom really was trying to say is the people you hang out with that are influencing you, if y'all all start looking at the wrong thing, that'll trip you up. And now that I've gotten a little older, you know, people look at the wrong thing, but it sounds so good. Same problem. We just don't tell them not to hang out with them anymore. Money, influence, power, right? The whole celebrity thing, being recognized, influencers. In today's vernacular, we probably wouldn't say they're the bad people, the wrong crowd. I can tell you, even really, really good things, if they're put in place of the Lord, don't turn out well. Whatever it is. You got to be careful. Because some of that stuff looks so good. But what I've learned is people that really lean into whatever it is, influence, power, money, whatever it is, organic flower growing, like, you know, like it could be anything, honestly. Any time that your focus isn't on him, it's kind of like the opposite of the fruit of the Spirit. Those people don't have joy, peace, patience, love, right? They're going to experience turmoil saving the dolphins. Like, I know that sounds crazy. You partner with the Lord, saving the dolphins is okay. If he's not part of that, it'll destroy you. It absolutely will. It matters that much. Okay, I just want to pray for us. Could y'all stand for me? We're just going to pray. I know we're a tad long. And I don't know. Maybe we do. Well, shoot, we got three pastors on deck. They can pray for people. And we got a prayer team too? Okay. Today would be a great day if something I said, hopefully, made you go, ooh, that's an area. Man, can I tell you the most important step is the first step? And then it's the next one. And then it's the one after that. Because every time you get to make a decision on, are you going to look at your results and are you going to run right back to that relationship with him? So I just want to pray real quick, and then we're going to have teams up that would love to pray for you this morning. So God, I am just so grateful that in 1,000 times in a day, we get to be reminded of who you are and what you did for us. God, I am blown away of how much love and care you have for every single person on this earth. Their hardest day, the hardest thing that happened to them, the every moment, Lord, you were there right beside us holding our hand, God. What an incredible miracle, Lord. God, I just pray for my friends that they get to experience your voice today, Lord, that everyone gets to see your face. Amen. Cool. All right, thank you guys.